Perhaps we should loosen things up a little bit. Meet in a less official capacity. How about a friendly game of poker?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 31. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we have an extra long episode talking about Raise the Stakes. We've detained two of the designers, both Brad and Charlie, and we'll have at them.
Well, now, I have here the latest and greatest of intelligence transmissions. And wouldn't you know, we have not one, but two continuing committee captives. I mean members, to whom we shall pose our interrogation, I mean inquisition, I mean questions, too, about this.
That's right. Joining us, we have both Brad and Charlie.
Hello.
Somewhat responsible for what's going on with this set that's coming out soon. Everyone knows who you are by now. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, whatever. Sorry. Yes, thank you for kidnapping me again.
Now, guys, I can't help but notice the first thing that catches my attention here is that this file looks to be larger than expected.
Yeah, we wanted to go big with Raise the Stakes. Everything bigger. And that was one of the first things we talked about, when how we could make things big without just using bigger numbers, was to look at making it bigger.
And by bigger, we're not just talking about bigger cards or bigger points or bigger cost, which are all seem to be included here, but a bigger set size, despite all evidence to the contrary, it being a 45-card set. I'm counting, looks like, 90 cards here, according to the collector's info at the last card.
Yeah, and sorry to anybody that thought they were going to do a quick 45-card download and ended up downloading 90 cards instead. It took a little bit longer, but we decided early on to go with 90, and then a little bit later we talked about, I don't have good memory on this, Charlie. How did we decide that we would surprise people with 90 cards?
Well, it was interesting because from pretty much about 5 minutes after you came up with the idea for the expansion, we decided it was going to be 90 cards. So it was always going to be 90. It was a good while into the process, if I remember, that we decided that we were going to do the surprise. We had a continuing committee meeting with a bunch of the continuing committee members to talk about what we were going to do in the next year and planning for Gen Con and all that kind of stuff. And somehow the White Border Defiant came out. The White Border Defiant came up, and how much of a surprise that was. People at first were like, didn't believe that it existed because Decipher didn't say anything about it. People started pulling it, and then they were scanning it, and everybody was saying it was fake, and then finally it was decided that it was real. Well, we wanted to come up with some – I don't even remember whose idea it was, but the idea came from that. We wanted to do some sort of surprise along those lines that people would not even know what was going on until they downloaded the file and saw it was there. So
you made Johnny do – false graphics all this time for the pack and the wrappers and everything that was said 45 cards when in actuality it was going to be 90.
Oh yeah, we committed to this lie. And let me tell you, and I'm sure Brad and Johnny, if he were here, would back me up. This has been the biggest pain in the ass ever, but hopefully the buzz will be awesome.
Not only that, you've had to fake the collector's numbers on all the cards you spoiled on the site, right? Those are all off by, a factor of two?
Yeah, but the thing that made that easy was that all those cards that got spoiled early weren't finished cards. So I didn't, so it was really just slapping the numbers on real quick. In fact, today I just sat down and pulled each card out of the file, the final version of the cards out of the files today, and got them ready for Charlie.
Yep, So I mean, it was. I mean, it's funny because if you go back and read the designer chat, I mean, Brad and I just flat out lied to people, and I do. I feel a little bad for that, but we had to keep this surprise intact. I actually made a mistake, and early on I said there weren't any broken links, and then we spoiled William Ross, who's the commander of the, I don't even know how to pronounce that ship either, the Bellepharon, I guess, and I didn't even think about that because that card's in there, but it wasn't in the 45 that we showed off. So when he got spoiled, everybody's like, oh, we must be getting that ship, and I'm like, oh. So then I had to go back and say, yeah, I made a mistake, I guess there's a broken link in the set.
In the game of poker, there is a moment when a player must decide if an opponent is being deceptive or actually holds a winning hand. This decision is based not only on the odds, but also on an appraisal of the man. Is he bluffing, or does he have the cards?
What do you think folks will be putting together first as they get their hands on these new cards?
Well, I know what Charlie did first thing. He got a chance to put together cards, and that was to make a Delta Quadrant Klingon deck, I believe. Is that right, Charlie?
Yes, I played. They were pretty much the only cards I got a chance to play test a lot during the development, and they were kind of, I don't want to call them my babies, but I put them in there, and Brad liked them. They stayed in there. They went through a lot of changes, so I've been really looking forward to play with them. And then, you know, my brilliant self, who's really excited about all these cards, decides to hide all of them.
None of the information about the Klingons made it to any of the spoilers that were given out, so it was completely skipped over.
All the Delta Quadrant stuff, yeah. We hid their mission, their ship, and all the DQ Klingons. So all that people think they have is the Kempek. So I couldn't do any articles about it. I couldn't talk about it at all. But we did a pre-release at our little mini-con last week, and I brought the full set and swore everybody to secrecy. And played with them, and they're fun. They're really good. I'm looking forward to actually building a solid deck around them. But to answer your original question, I would say the thing that people are going to like the most are probably the dilemmas we didn't show off. Because if I had to say, of the dilemmas we showed off, only two of them are probably really exciting. There are some good ones in there, but we hid all of the good dilemmas, in my opinion. Like, all of them got hid.
There are definitely a few that I would looked at and was very surprised to see. One in particular is essentially the small team smacker. I think will be a huge addition to the meta.
Yeah, I like full complement. Yeah, I think though the ones that discount for each 40-point mission, those are big ones.
There's actually a cycle of them. There's a space, a planet, a duel, all that cost six, all that discount. So.
So the cycle, unfair terms, and the space and the duel. It's similar to the big dilemmas that came from Necessary Evil, except you don't have to worry about people destroying all your events and keep the cost down.
Yeah, exactly. I think they look neat. The only difference between those and the Necessary Evil ones is that these are all different. You know, the planet and space one and Necessary Evil mirrored each other in their results and what they did. And these, all three of them, are different. And I think that gave it a nice little twist.
I think one of the biggest things that's going to come out of this, especially with the stuff that we didn't show off, is I think you're going to see a lot more people playing with the 40 or more stuff. Because we threw – there's so many carrots for 40 or more now. And we put in – there's, what, 10 missions, all 40 points, or 9 missions that are all 40 points across all three quadrants, across all the affiliations – all the attributes, all the skills. We spent weeks looking at missions and mission skills and who needed what and made sure that everybody had a chance to do 40 or more. And now I really think you're going to see a lot more people playing with it where you haven't yet. You've seen a couple people tinker with it, and certain affiliations were better at it than others, like Klingons. But I think you'll see a lot more affiliations playing with it now.
Yeah, and even then, these missions where we made sure that, you know, they would fill gaps so that each affiliation could try to get them. These missions are really open to a lot of different people attempting. There's a lot of anybody can attempt, but, and the non-aligned icon shows up on four of the missions. I thought that was really a good and necessary move to help promote the 40 or more, because you're not going to play with 40 or more cards if you can't get the mission selection together to do a 40 or more deck.
Do you think that focusing players on that will lengthen the actual time of the game? Is that a concern of yours?
I'm not too worried about the 40-point missions lengthening the time, because there's enough grease and things that they can do. And really, there's not a huge difference between 35 and 40-point missions. It's just enough of an extension. I'm more worried about games being longer because of higher cost personnel and higher cost cards being played. But that's also why cards like the Horgon are out there, to help make these decks that are running higher cost cards go faster and work quicker, so that there will be less games running against time. But it's always going to be a concern when we deal with that kind of stuff. And really, any time we promote a new idea that may cause people to think differently and play differently, it's going to cause some games to go to time. It just takes a while for some people to adjust.
I noted not only do you have a great deal of cards promoting the 40 or more point mission strategy, but there are also a few cards in there that actually punish people who are not using that strategy. Could you tell us a little bit more about that approach? I know certainly when I looked at it, I was taken aback by sort of the reversal of fortune on that one.
I remember the article that Brad wrote for Decipher 2 years ago, talking about carrot sticks and grease. Carrots are, you know, incentives to use a mechanic, and grease is cards that make mechanic work better, and then sticks are cards that punish you for not using a mechanic. And you know, getting to work with Brad and Gerard, I've learned a lot about those cards and when to use them and when not to use them. So I think that there's definitely some cards in there that smack you for not using 40 point missions. The Demhadar Entrenchment is probably one of the bigger ones. So is Delirium. Delirium is the choking card, but unlike all the other ones, it doesn't require you to blow it up, but it only works at 35 or less missions. So I definitely think that there's some strong cards in there that are going to be able to make you regret not playing with 40-point missions. But I think there's more cards that encourage you to do it than there are cards that punish you for not doing it. But I think that's where we wanted to be, because the decks that don't use it, that are running around like crazy, the Borg, Euroborg, Fed Cadets or Fed Weenie with Kirk, don't use 40-point missions and just get hammered by everything in here. All I did for that pre-release we played in, I added most of the dilemmas to my dilemma pile, and played up against a cadet, Federation cadet weenie deck, and just slaughtered it. I'd never seen a Federation deck stall for 5 turns at the first mission. Just beat the crap out of it with the new cards. So I think that the whole point of this expansion was to rebalance some of the affiliations and just really, really punish the original thinker Kirk weenie fed decks and the Borg, Euroborg. So I think those are going to, if you don't run 40-point missions and those two decks don't, they're going to be in for some pain.
And I think that there's a nice mix of that, of the amounts of sticks out there. There's, and it's not overwhelming, but there's enough of them that you should seriously consider running a 40-point mission. Or you should, you know, if you're a regular tournament player, you should take those time where you show up with plenty of 40-point mission decks to try to keep the metagame moving and changing around. And I think that that's healthy for the game when you're going to see different decks every week and you may not know what you're going to see.
Sometimes I wonder if he's stacking the deck.
I assure you, Commander, the cards have been sufficiently randomized.
I hope so.
Okay, then why don't we up the stakes a little?
A poker face carved in marble.
Yeah, we'll take that bet.
One of the things that I had noticed, there's a lot of cards in this set. You mentioned the theme is going for big Lebowski. We've got a lot of big point mission mechanics, a lot of big personnel, four cost or more personnel mechanics coming back. There also seems to be a lot of big power cards. I noticed at least half dozen cards, though, where I just kind of stared at it for about 5 minutes and went, is that really what that does? Just really powerful cards I think are going to make interesting decks. A lot of people I know continue to express possible concern that the power curve may continue to gradually curve up, and I don't think we've seen that yet. But I think there's the potential for seeing that in the set. The example being, of course, with the way a lot of people felt like the virtual Star Wars cards got out of control, got really out of control really quickly. Obviously, there's playtesting going on to try and combat that. I wanted to just sort of get your guys' take on that opinion, that situation, that whole outlook on, and what you feel like is a good way to kind of work against that, or your general opinions on that?
I really like that players are concerned about this thing because it or power creep, because it shows that they're concerned about the game. And while I do like to alleviate these concerns, I think sometimes it's good for them to talk it out. I do not think that there's really there's much power creep in here. It's very little, or it's in spots where the game can handle it or the game needs it. But I still follow our costing charts quite religiously. I think I broke the costing chart on one dilemma, and
you were pissed about it. You fought that forever. James and I kept teaming up on you to change it, and you just wouldn't do it. And finally, you did it, I think, to shut us up.
Well, and the Gerard too. Gerard bugged me about it a lot too. But I finally changed it because it helped tie the dilemmas together. I think that maybe a couple of missions may be a little bit stronger than what our costing guide may say for missions. And then maybe the Bellophron is too good for its cost, but I would really say that everything else, I'm flipping through the cards really quick here. A lot of stuff is really on cost. Improved scenery. That's a card that may be a little bit of power creep there, but that's a card that a world champion wrote, and it did well in testing, and I like it like that. But to go back to what you're saying, I love it when players are concerned about that stuff because it means they care. I just hope that it doesn't ever become overwhelming, because we do really follow those charts and the costing on a lot of those cards, and it's important that that players know that. The Klingon event may be too cheap too. I'm not sure. But I think that everything else really follows, especially personnel. I want to drive that home, especially personnel and the dilemmas.
How did playtesting go? It was double size.
It was tough at times because there was a lot of cards. With every expansion, when we go through testing, there's always a card through that pull a lot of attention from the testing, because there's problems with those cards and the testers really jump all over them. And either those cards have to get pulled back a lot, or they just need to flat out go. And I think that some of the cards that had to go out of this expansion distracted a little bit from testing, and I asked Charlie for more time for the expansion to test it more, because I was worried that with 90 cards we weren't getting as much testing done because of some early distractions that went on early in the testing. But it's how it works, and I think that the end results are really, really good. If anything else, I mean, the cards are beautiful, and I really think they're going to bring some strategies to the game that the game needs and that players will enjoy. And that players enjoying it's the number one factor.
At one point, we had to kind of stop testing and go out and try to get some more groups in, because a couple of the groups had stopped testing for real-life reasons, and we only were down to a handful. And we actually still could use more playtesting groups, so anybody out there who is interested, contact Brad. We need more. But I do have to agree with Brad. I think it'll be a while before we do another 90 carder. You know, 45 is very manageable on volunteer time. 90 was, it's, well, I don't know. I think it was also made worse by the fact that we had to hide half of it. I don't know. That might have taken some of the pressure off if we weren't hiding the fact that it was full size, but I don't think that we'll do this too often. You know, I don't think it'll become a regular pattern or anything. We decided to raise the stakes. Well, Lebowski was going to be 90 cards back when we were doing Undiscovered Country, I think. I mean, it was a long – we knew that was going to be 90 cards for a long time. And we had talked about doing, you know, 45, 45, 90 and putting out, you know, one full printed expansion a year equivalent. I don't think we realized how much work it was going to be to do a 90 carder when we decided that, though. So I don't know. I would be surprised to see that follow a pattern, you know. And to be honest, if you do another 90 carder, it kind of minimizes the impact of doing this one as 90. You know, one of the reasons to do this one as 90 cards was, you know, go big or go home.
One way we tried to look at big in a different view was calling for some double skills where there was, you know, personnel that have two of a certain skill. You know, there's some cards, like a couple of the interrupts, that you have to have someone with two leadership or two medical.
And in that same vein, I noticed there were a lot of the affiliation, in fact, most of the affiliation-specific events, rather than the usual, you must have three Klingons or you must have three Cardassians to play this card, or they're all six.
It was another way to go big without it just being cost and looking at big numbers, numbers printed on a card, but rather to look at, you know, numbers in quantity. Am I big enough this way, you know? And we have other cards that are like Favor the Bold. I have to have three people that cost four or more. I've got to be big in a different direction. But I liked the six or more cards, and I like that we didn't just stick them all on event. I really wanted to kind of spread them around. I wish that we might have been a little more systematic about how we were spreading them around, but I like that, you know, there's some personnel, there's some interrupts and events. It's nice that it moves around like that, and I think it looks good. It looks good in the expansion, and I hope that the players appreciate that there was planning going on for that kind of stuff.
I do apologize to the Borg and Bajoran players that I lied to you that you didn't get one. You get one. Everybody gets one.
Actually, I used to be quite a card player in my youth. So, five card stud, nothing wild, and the sky's the limit.
Looking through the file, this may be a question for Johnny, but you use a lot of images that used to be 1E card images. Punishment Box, obviously the same name, but looks like Doppelganger. This picture made it on a card. Greed looks like the old Kivas Fajo. Was that something you tried to go through just to kind of bring back a little nostalgia?
No, not really. But I'll tell you that some of those images are very strong and very iconic, and we're not going to shy away from that. And some of them are great. I mean, I love the Punishment Box image, and I love the Jemadar Entrenchment image. You know, they're all slightly different, especially the Doppelganger, which is now the replacement card, the imperfect replacement. But I love some of the iconic images that we can use. Whenever we can use something like that, it's great. And really, I cannot give Johnny enough credit. I may have to try to see if I can write up an article with some before and after pictures of some of these cards, because some of these images beforehand are so dark and so indistinguishable that if we just left them in the card like that, players would have trouble recognizing what was on the card. And Johnny does a great job of bringing out the color and the snap and the image and brightening up some of these cards. He did a great job for us.
I do think it's interesting how many 1E references by the players at the pre-release all commented on that. They called them 1E throwbacks. And I think that while it was unintentional, we weren't sitting around trying to do it. I think it's neat that it kind of happened that way. Because there's not a lot of 1E compatible stuff in there. But, and you know, this is a big year for the game too, with the 15th anniversary. So I think it's interesting that ended up being that way, even though it wasn't intended to be that way.
So if you had to kind of look at the entire set as kind of an overall, is there one kind of defining card that you like the best that kind of ties everything together? Like the rug, something that ties the room together.
I can't speak for Charlie, but I look at cards like the any of the artifact personnel cards that they discount by 4 when after you've completed a certain mission. Those to me seem very iconic for the set, that they really bring that idea of bringing the set together. But I think that Favor the Bold and the missions really bring the whole set together. It really makes you think about all the different cards that are in the set, and I think it's really good. The ironic thing about Favor the Bold was that we had rewritten that card multiple times throughout the testing and stuff like that, and its final wording didn't come until very late in the process.
Well, I have to agree about Favor the Bold, and because it really came from throwing away all the rules, too. You know, because we had Favor the Bold started out messing with dilemmas, and then it did something else, and then it went back to messing with dilemmas, and it just didn't. It didn't work, or it was too powerful, and then so we were BSing on the boards trying to figure out what to do, thinking of, you know, big things that we can pull off that we haven't done. And I don't even remember whose idea it was or where it came from, but it was, let's, you know, mess with uncompleting a mission. And then it sort of evolved into what it is right now, and I think it's huge. I mean, there's never been a card that does that but that's been anywhere close to doing that. And I think there's a lot of potential with that card. It opens up a lot of possibilities, and it really personifies, as much as a inanimate virtual object can personify. It really, that's not the right word. What word do I want to use? But encapsulates.
It's almost like you're trying to say that it ties the set together.
Yes, it ties the set together. I just hope a Chinaman doesn't pee on it.
whoa, hold on. The correct term is Asian American. Come on, dude.
Yeah, I love that card.
You see, now if you haven't seen the movie, that's not funny at all. I look like a jerk there. But really, the movie makes me – the movie really made me laugh. I had to watch The Big Lebowski again before we even did any of this, because there was just so many stuff that it was absolutely hilarious that we could bring across into the expansion. And I think it helped.
Because it's also one of my top 5 favorite movies. And so when Brad named it that and agreed to let me come back into it, I watched probably The Big Lebowski 20 times during the course of the development of the expansion, and it was really funny because you could pretty much at one point through the playtest titles, subtitles, and lore almost do the whole movie. It was also funny when Brad's trying to censor himself and then, you know, not censor himself at the same time. It was entertaining to see some censored lines on there and then some just flat out swear words on there. It was entertaining. I'll have to put up an article after the release and show you guys some cards and tell you what the playtest titles were and all this stuff, which wouldn't be funny to anybody who's not seen the movie, but everybody should go out and see The Big Lebowski. It's definitely not a family film, but go watch it, 'cause it's hilarious.
Well, what have you got lined up for the future? Another 45 card set?
Yeah, the next set is 45 cards. And after working on a 90 card expansion, it really feels like we're trying to stuff everything into 45 cards. I could see us maybe looking, if we were going to do a large expansion again, going for somewhere in between 45 and 90. But the next two... Well, I'll just commit right now to the next virtual expansion will be 45 cards. Its code name is Valkyrie right now. Nothing to do with the Tom Cruise movie. And it's going to be a fun expansion. I think it's going to be one that people see and they're going to laugh at things and they're going to be excited about some faces that are on cards, and the theme will be enjoyable. And then after that, we'll go to another expansion that I expect will be 45 cards that's going to be more mechanic-heavy and team-driven.
And we may, I don't know if I want to say this or not, we may have something in store that comes as a surprise. in between there somewhere. I'll leave it at that.
Well, I think congratulations are in order. This set looks, it looks mighty good. We're probably going to get together and have a, as our producer Matt calls it, a scrapbook party when we cut up the cards and glue them to little to old cards. Just because there's just so many to do, and it looks like it'll be a great time to get together and talk about what we want to try to put together with these things. Very well done. Looking forward to the next one, and looking forward to playing with these cards.
Right, as indicated by our extra long show this week, we are absolutely, completely, 100% out of intelligence. On behalf of our producer Matt Kirk, I am Sir Rogue,
and I am Sir Dan.
We send a shout out to our favorite rock band in the Star Trek universe, Warp 11, for the theme song. Thank you to Brad and Charlie for stopping by, and I will remind all of you to continue to expand your power in the universe.
And I've got the Borg Queen and 30 of her favorite drones. I'll begin scouting, hit Ooby Dooby, and draw 31 to end.